Not every day does the B minor mass come around, and the person who's been in the trenches to making sure it happens is Tim Westerhaus, leading this performance, which is Sunday at 3 o'clock at St. John's Cathedral. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Vern.
And let's just jump right into what whatever we can say about this thing that we're in awe of.
Well, I think we're in awe of it because of the way it came to be. Bach wrote this over more than 20 years of his life, and the depth of it just comes through at every moment. This captures the full range of emotion and full range of the human experience in relation to the divine and to one another, and it is a journey for sure.
And so shall we get a little bit of sound of it before?
Let's, absolutely. But, you know, Bach starts it in such a bold, kind of monumental title way with four simple measures invoking the Lord have mercy. And from that unfolds this most beautiful pleading fugue.
Thank you.
and it goes on, and the beauty of it going on is that one can experience that on Sunday at 3 at St. John's Cathedral when it happens, the It in Question, the B minor Mass, the opening Kyrie, and that beautiful, beautiful fugue, first in the instruments and then in the voices. And just you have everything already, don't you?
You know, we do. And, right away from the beginning, we have this really expressive gesture from Bach, that mm-hmm. two-note sigh, mm-hmm. yada, that half-note, mm-hmm. That both indicates suffering and pleading. And this piece is, maybe that's truly what the whole of it is about, something not yet complete and coming to fulfillment, mm-hmm. and that being part of this kind of human journey and understanding the divine and understanding our place here. One of the things that makes this Kyrie so beautiful is Bach's use of a different type of oboe, which are featured in our performance, the oboe d'amore, the oboe of love. And though this may not be a love piece, certainly the more melancholy, and it sometimes certainly is, but that melancholy gesture, it's those oboes and the flutes, not the mm-hmm. strings, mm-hmm. that first unveil that fugue subject. And it sets just a really kind of grand, long scale in an intimate way for this opening of this subject.
Yeah. And then we won't get to it too, but then the lovely contrast to the Christe that comes along.
where the violins start in unison. Yum, pum, pum, pa, doo, 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 doo. Yeah. The most joyful. So Bach does contrast the pleading with also the human experience of the theologically, the Christ figure brings release. Christ does have mm-hmm. mercy. Mm-hmm. And he sets it as a duet for two soprano voices, and it's just the most wonderful lift. And then he brings it right back in the final Kyrie, where we have this chromatic half-step gesture that mm-hmm. indicates for Bach the cross figure.
Tim Westerhaus, who's put together this performance at St. John's Cathedral, 3 o'clock Sunday, with the Cantorei Choir, the Cathedral Cantorei Choir, Collegium Orchestra, a collection of musicians who have done several performances of similar material over the last couple of years there. And then always there are a million questions of how to play Bach, of how to approach it, how to do it, how to turn those notes into reality for 2017.
How many singers, how many players, mm-hmm. all these things, mm-hmm. modern or Baroque. So mm-hmm. a little bit about our performance. Mm-hmm. So we, one part of my commitment to the Spokane community is developing a community that really champions exceptional chamber music of, you know, Baroque works, of new works. And so utilizing, you know, the skills of the players in this area as well as the singers in this area. So our orchestra is about 25, 26. So that's about as small as you can go if you're going to have a few players on each part. But it's not a lot. 4 first violins, for example. And then the singers, 31, because at some points Bach divides the singers into double chorus, so 8 different parts. But as far as performances go of the Bach B minor Mass and a choral setting of it, that's about as small as we see. Mm-hmm. So it feels grand, even there are 55 musicians in mm-hmm. front, but it has a real intimate experience. Regarding how we even arrange the players and the singers affects drastically the sound, and we were experimenting with 2 options on Tuesday. Instrumentalists, though, if you attend, you'll see we are not utilizing a traditional configuration. In the Baroque, the continuo, the bass group, is the structural foundation, and they're placed dead center with high violins off to the left, but then winds up front to the right. Mm. So there's no challenge with regard to balance, mm. and we can hear them really mm. clearly. And then immediately wrapped behind them in 2 semicircles, the choir. So it's mm. really an ensemble sound.
Mm. And then you have a few ways to approach the Gloria here?
Absolutely, yeah. So the Gloria in Excelsis mm. is the 4th movement. And my own lineage connects back to Robert Shaw, the studying of conducting, not with him personally, but his assistant, Ann Howard Jones, for many years. And he, you know, championed this work with a large chorus. And he also explored utilizing, recognizing that this is virtuosic material. He identifies parts that are only sung in the soloist that today we'd consider choral, quote mm-hmm. unquote. So maybe we could just hear the very beginning of this from his 1961 recording, the Atlanta Symphony, with Robert Shaw conducting. So I've had the opportunity to sing the B minor Mass, I think, 3 times. Twice with Helmut Drilling, who was the first to record all of the Bach cantatas. He uses modern instruments, but he also has tried to incorporate the Baroque scholarship, particularly around dances. And so he kind of acknowledges that this is a gigue dance based on the time signature. But also, we have an unbroken lineage in German Latin in Germany in which the pronunciation is different. So there we heard Gloria in excelsis. And here we'll hear the text sparkle in a different way with Gloria in excelsis. Okay, and then the third recording, and this is kind of who conductors are often listening to these days, is John Elliott Gardner, who just recently recorded his 3rd Bach B minor Mass. Though I disagree with his use of ecclesiastical, just general Italian Latin, in our performance on Sunday, we'll hear the German Latin. What we hear is both the vivaciousness, but also the lyricalness. He also uses a smaller chorus similar to the size that we'll use tonight. So there is a clarity that comes through in this that retains the dance-like character as well.
And again, we'll abbreviate because there's so much and so many things to talk about of the B minor Mass. But that was 3 aspects of how to do the Gloria. Last time Tim and I were together, I was describing the one that happened at the Eastman School of Music when I was there, when they did In a Gall. So instead of dum bum 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 ba da 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 dum bum 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 ba da 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 dum bum 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 ba da 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 dum. Which just made it for a really fun dance thing about it.
You know, and I think that's the key with, historically informed performance, what's called hip in modern parlance.
We're proud to say.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, it's not prescriptive. It's explorative. It should open up options. It should open up options of exploring. And certainly in the B minor Mass throughout, there are so many decisions to make and so many options to explore. It's been a real delight to explore that with both the vocal soloists and the instrumental soloists. There's one of the movements, the Domine Deus with the flute, that has Bach indicated in one score using this Lombard, kind of a Scotch snap rhythm, and in another not. And we just explored with both. We had, the opportunity to do that. But in a work of this scope, there are so many decisions to make because it's not mm-hmm. always clear. Bowings from Bach's parts. The first time we hear this music was in Weimar, 1714. He composed then properly the Misa, the first two major sections lasting about 45 minutes. In 1733, as a gift to the court in Dresden, where his son was recently appointed a position. But then it was only the last 2 years of his life where he returned and decided something pushed him to say, I'm going to complete this setting of the Mass Ordinary. Now, it was normal for Lutherans to do the first two movements, the Kyrie and the Gloria. But the others, that was not part of it. So clearly there was a greater personal statement as he was in the last 2 years of his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we can extrapolate anything from that legacy.
Yeah.
A thoughtful old man, a reconciliation with the Catholics, you know, whatever you want to say.
And the political situation, too. This was the first time that Leipzig was being outside, I forget what the specific details are, but was being occupied by an outside military force. Mm. And so taking this step back and a statement, and I think that the way he sets up the Dona Nobis Pacem as the second most important movement of the piece, because we've heard the music for the second time,
right. Maybe
that there's a really profound statement there that he's making. Mm.
And then there's the famous Bach extravagance. I guess he had the resources available, but he wanted the sounds he wanted. And so I can say, as the lonely horn player who sits there for about, you know, an hour and a quarter waiting for your 4 minutes of intense solo, just one little thing that the horn player did, even though the three trumpets have been playing throughout.
But it may be some of the best 4 minutes of this piece, although I find myself saying that over and over about each movement.
Yeah.
So Bach does have this wide, rich palette. So we've already heard a little bit the Oboes d'Amore in one of the, at the very beginning. We hear solos for flute, for violin. But one of the most unique combinations happens in the, as we say in German Latin, Quoniam tuit solum sanctum.
And the translation
you,
of those words being?
For you alone are holy. It's very much a regal, tall character. So he assigns this to the bass, and truly the bass solos. We have two soloists, Max Mendez, our baritone, singing the other bass solo, and Joshua Vanderplants, who's a true bass, singing this one. All with lower instruments, the horn being the exception that spans. Corno da caccia, the hunting horn, which has this both rustic yet regal sound, accompanied by two duetting bassoons played by Lynn Feller Marshall and Aaron Foster. It's the most fantastic combination of this grounded, you alone are holy, the Lord. Thank you.
solus altissimus, tu solus altissimus, Jesu Christe. Altissimus, Jesu Christe, tu solus altissimus, tu solus altissimus, Jesu Christe. Jesu Christe. Thank you.
So at this point, do you send everybody out for an intermission?
Absolutely. Everyone needs the intermission, I think, in the most wonderful way. Singers, players, and audience alike, a moment to breathe for the ears after that glorious ending.
It's been such an amazing, the first half, essentially, of the B minor Mass, concluding with Cum Sancto Spiritu. The trumpets are back in, and the singers are just doing amazing acrobatics.
And the way it comes, you know, it just is an explosion of sound right out of it. And that's one of the really neat things about this overall work is how Bach doesn't just compose separate movements, but he envisions the text as a whole and one coming out of it. This last movement has such singer versatility that when putting together the roster, particularly of new singers, the audition excerpt is that fugue because it's one of the most exposed moments. You hear all the strings except for the continuo go away. There's no what we'd call colla parte or with the part, with the voice doubling. For me, the story of that fugue goes back when I was just a master's student and auditioning for Helmut Rilling and the Oregon Bach Festival. That is also the excerpt. And it's for good reason that Cum Sancto Spiritu in Gloria. It's not that so much as just goes on and on. But I am so proud of the ensemble, how they have really owned this and unified both individually their rigor. And as an ensemble, this demands some of the highest level of musicianship.
Yeah.